Type of Cthulhu presents a Pulp Cthulhu Scenario, The Disintegrator, by Alan Bly.
So, everyone went through and you have things like pulp archetypes and talents.
Yeah, I haven't done the personality stuff yet.
You can...
traits and so forth, but I have the talents and archetype.
Yeah. Okay.
Skills.
I didn't see anything about talents.
So, do you have the pulp rules? It's step 3 of creating a pulp hero. Page 23 of the Pulp Cthulhu rules. Well, who has a ready, complete character who would like to describe it to the rest of the group? I know Steve has a complete character because we did this last time.
Well, that could be me. I'm Dr. Adam Bashir. Scientist. Physicist.
Excellent. Let's see. Can someone keep track of this in the notes? Because easy for me that way.
What was your name again?
Dr. Adam Bashir.
Awesome.
And what can you tell us about your character? Any special talents or?
I'm an inventor. Quite good at sciencey stuff. But yeah, as for talents, I've got my two talents are weird science and
keep
gadgets.
The accent. We discussed this last time. You're not allowed to not use the accent.
Well, my two talents are weird science and gadget.
Amazing.
The only problem with that accent is it requires me to speak loudly with my girlfriend sleeping next to me.
or when they're no longer sleeping.
But for science! Yes, I have my little pocket gadget that is called, I call it the Dynamobile.
I don't really care what you call your pocket gadget. I'm not interested in it.
Well, that's maybe because you don't understand it. But that's okay. Most people don't.
Excellent. Who's next?
Lady Black is a straight shooter, so to speak. And she is dressed in black leathers much of the time. And she's probably been hired by somebody to shoot.
Okay. Can you add that to the notes?
Yep.
Excellent. So was that a talent, straight shooter?
Oh, sorry. So talent is hardened and night vision. Occupation is officially, I guess it's hitman, but she thinks of herself as a straight shooter.
Perfect. Okay. I'm obviously going to rely on you all to keep track of your own talents and abilities, and we won't do the keeper keeping track of hit points because it's just too much work.
A lot more hit points.
Yes, you should all be feeling rather healthy. Okay. Who's next?
I can go. Hello, Philemon. I am Ophelia Hula. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep this up, but we'll see.
You've committed now, so...
Oh, boy. I am a private detective. Some people would say I am maybe sneaky. That is my specialty. I am especially charming.
Excellent.
I didn't hear any of the important words.
I didn't hear the name. Can you see if you can turn your microphone up a bit, or?
Yeah. Or I can just. Okay, we'll see about how are we now. Are we better?
That's a lot better. Yes.
Okay, this is just leaning forward. It's great. I can do this.
So what was your character's name, actually? I missed that.
Aurélie Dulac.
Okay. Do you have access to the notes, Gail?
I do, yeah. I'll just...
Perfect, yeah.
Okay. Oh, good.
Easier, people. Type their own names. okay, so we have had Max, Edwin, and Gail... Who's next? Steve, you have a character.
Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'll be playing Ricky the Wrench, who is an auto mechanic, a grease monkey type. She has some relationship with the good professor, Max's character. She kind of fixes things that he comes up with and creates. And, there you go. She's a, Ricky is a girl's name, by the way.
Talents?
What were your talents, Steve?
Acrobat just shut down on me, I'm sorry.
down that you're an acrobat.
Right, yeah. she has, I think she's handy. Let me open it back up. And, sorry. I'm working on Gary's character now, so I haven't, I wasn't thinking about her too much.
You also have weird science.
Yes.
That's the only way that you can work for me.
That's right. She's handy and she has weird science. She can build and repair weird science devices and, she can. She's really good with her electrical and mechanical repair. Can operate heavy machinery.
Excellent. Jim, do you have a character?
No, I don't. I'm not going to be playing today. I sent you a text. I sent you a text message and everything, Jonathan.
Did you?
I did.
Oh. What was this? What's going on, Jonathan?
I have too much homework I need to get done today, I'm afraid.
Okay. Oh, I did not see that at all.
No worries.
Oh, well, I trust you. I believe you sent it if you say you did. Okay, so Jim is just going to listen and judge. That is fine.
occasionally Kibitz perhaps provides some what I'm sure will be horribly useful advice.
Hey, and if you need some help with your homework, you know, we've got a bunch of weird scientists here. I'm sure somebody can help.
No doubt.
So, Randall?
I am Ferdinand Eagle Williams. I'm a bounty hunter. And my two... I have K keen vision, and quick healer. I've been traveling a lot recently, mainly because the surface here in the U.S. don't approve of my methods of bringing men to the law, so I'm working mostly on Asia right now.
Okay. What was your last name, Ferdinand?
Williams. Ferdinand Eagle Williams.
Eagle Williams. And healer and?
And quick.
Quick.
No, keen vision. Keen vision.
Keen vision.
Quick healer is the.
That's the eagle part.
Yeah, exactly. Vision.
Beautiful.
Okay, then. Is there a character for Gary?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the middle of making them, and since my Adobe Acrobat shut down on me, I've got to go back. But he will be playing Wheels Johnson, a getaway driver from the Boston area.
Excellent.
Yeah, I have to work on the rest of it.
Okay. Well, that sounds good. Okay, so I hope you have all had a chance to look through the pulp rules. It's quite a big book, quite a lot of them, so I will probably get things wrong. So do let me know if I'm missing anything out. I think, obviously, the things like doubling your hit points and slightly different character creation already done, taken into account. You should all be familiar with spending luck from our other 7th edition games, but in Pulp you get to spend luck in more situations for more things. So do you guys want to quickly go over that again?
Sure.
Okay, so you know the normal spending luck on skill rolls or characteristic rolls, so that's just one for one luck point to improve your roll by one. Then it starts to get a bit more interesting. If your weapon fumbles or your firearm malfunctions, you can spend 10 luck points to ignore that result. Halve sanity loss. So if you fail a sanity roll, you can choose to halve the number of sanity points you lose by spending double the original san loss in luck. Make sense?
So if you would have lost 4, you can spend 8 and only lose 2?
Yes, precisely.
What page is this on, Jonathan? Does it have them?
I'm looking at 60 to 61 of the pulp rules. Using luck. Then we have avoiding unconsciousness. So if you fail a con roll and fall unconscious, you can spend 1 luck point on the first round to remain conscious, 2 points on the next round, and then it doubles thereafter. So 2, 4, 8, 16. Until you either fall unconscious or run out of luck points or receive some healing. Then, going up in amount of luck points, you can spend 20 luck points when you've taken damage to gain an immediate 1d6 hit point recovery. And the final luck spend we have here is avoiding certain death. So at the cost of all your luck points, assuming you have 30 or more remaining, you avoid death and regain 1d6 plus 1 hit points. So this could be all kinds of things, but if someone threw you off a cliff that would lead to complete and utter certain death, you can spend your luck points to avoid it, and somehow you will have survived. So it'd be quite impressive if used properly. So as the rules say, page 62, at the start of each session of play, each player makes a luck recovery roll. This is rolled in the same way for normal skill improvement. So you can all do this now, as this is the start of a session of play. So roll your luck. If you fail, roll higher, then you get to add 2d10 plus 10 to your luck score.
Wow. Nice.
If you pass, you still gain 1d10 plus 5.
Oh.
And your luck cannot exceed 99. So.
Oh, wow. That's awesome, because I started with 35, failed, and then get almost max. I got 29.
Nice. Wow.
Just got 6 points. What a disappointment.
Could you say how much if you fail again?
So you fail your luck roll, so you roll higher. You
successfully
get
successfully failed, right?
2d10 plus 10.
Ah, thanks.
Well, I rolled a 02, so I would say that's made his luck roll.
I would hope so.
So how much do I get?
D10 plus 5.
What you got, Gary?
8 plus 5, so that's 13.
Okay.
Now my Adobe's all gummed up.
Gary, you now have 88 luck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, not too bad.
Gail's gone a bit quiet again. Unfortunately, I didn't hear that.
Oh, I think I'm so impressed with myself at 65 left.
Yep, there we go. Can hear you now. Okay, then. So, this scenario is called The Disintegrator. And it opens in classic Call of Cthulhu style with a particular investigator receiving a telegram from their old friend, Jackson Professor. Elias. Yes, exactly. Your old friend, Jackson Elias, I mean, Professor Finch, Professor Smith, lost track of it all. so I believe we said that was going to be Max's character who would receive the telegram.
Sure.
And to find all the handouts. So here we go. So, Dr. Bashir, you receive the following telegram.
Dear friend, stop. I wish to prevail upon you to represent me in a most urgent and delicate matter. Stop. I am stuck, chair-bound again, and need help to be my eyes and ears. Stop. It may prove nothing more than a hoax, but if not, I fear for the future. Stop. Sorry for limited info. Stop. Matter confidential. I will speak more of this in person. Stop. Please come and see me ASAP. I will pay all expenses and generous fee. Stop. Please reply by return message. Paid. Stop. Paid.
Return message.
Yes, of course. Well, Dr. Finch, I haven't spoken to him in some time. I do hope all is okay. Ricky!
Yes, doctor. Oh, sorry. A little more feminine.
I just received an urgent message.
What is it?
I need to go see an old friend. But, maybe you could pull the car around and we can go see him.
Excellent. I'll do that.
All right. I need to go send him a message.
Okay, so I pull the car around.
I'll send a telegram that we're on our way.
So are you in Arkham?
No, we're in Boston.
You're in Boston, okay.
Yes.
Okay, so your plan to go and see him immediately, or to telegram back?
Well, yeah. Well, he said send a message, but he said he needs to see me. So I'm going to send him a message that says, we're on our way.
Okay.
And then head out to go see him.
Sounds good. Are there any other people you know who might be of use in such a situation?
Well, I don't know. He didn't give me any kind of info as to what he needs.
Fine, we'll modify it, saying, bring your best men. I don't particularly want to spend the time introducing the characters. This is a one shot or a two shot. So
some of my best men are women. So I guess he means that as well. So yes, Ricky, assemble the super science team.
Yes, Doc.
I am in Boston also.
What was that, Gail?
I am in Boston also. Maybe I should drop.
That is supremely serendipitous.
Oh, thank you. So, Dr. Bashir, what do you know of the good Professor Finch? You know the following. Professor Lionel Finch, he is currently a visiting academic scholar and benefactor at Miskatonic University. He is in his 70s and is unfortunately afflicted by arthritis, and so periodically has to confine himself to a wheelchair, but he remains as intellectually sharp as ever. He's travelled the world quite a lot in the past and has very good connections with academics and journalists in all parts of the globe. He was once a highly influential physical scientist and engineer, and his discoveries and patents have made him a wealthy man. He retired from active research about 15 years ago and has been spending the last 15 or so years exploring and in some cases debunking a number of occult and scientific claims and sensations. Remind you of anyone? I just copied and pasted this from... consequently, Finch is now known in both academic and print media circles as a respected intellectual, humanist, and skeptic. He's renowned for charitable work in the field of education and has sponsored several scholarships at Arkham University and the relief of poverty in the inner cities of the East Coast.
Sounds like a good guy.
Okay, so you gather the rest of your team.
Yeah, the super science team. I'll bring out the wheels, my Bill.
So, what's the name of your new enemy this time?
Don't get ahead of yourself just yet. We're meeting a friend first. Put that gun away.
All right.
Love the photo.
Oh, nice.
cashier.
Okay. So you gather up Lady Black, Aurelie Delac, Ferdinand Williams, and you all bundle into Wheels' car.
Lady Black will take her motorcycle.
Very well. And you drive out to Arkham, to Miskatonic University. You think out of the corner of your eye you see some students down a alleyway fighting something with tentacles. No.
Shoot them.
But this is Miskatonic and you're used to it. So you head in to see Professor Finch.
Yeah.
Okay. We will be expecting you, and his staff will send you up. Secretary will usher you through, and he greets you warmly. Ah! Bashir, how are you?
Oh, Professor, I am quite well. How are you today?
Oh, well, you see he's in a wheelchair.
I mean, how are things at school?
Well, well, good, yes. I would rise to greet you, but... yeah.
No, don't get up.
Let's see. Does he know some of the people that are with you? Or some of you been meeting him for the first time?
I'll leave that up to them.
Well, of course you know Ricky, my assistant.
Yes, good to see you again.
Pleasure as always.
It's probably hit Wheels' first time.
She wipes her grease-stained hand on a rag and holds her hand out.
He shakes it. You see he has his hands are actually covered in woolen gloves. You see he has a blanket covering his legs, and he's got a dark blue velvet smoking jacket buttoned up along with an outdoor scarf.
Lady Black is standing in the doorway, sort of looking down the hallway and just nods at him, but they've never met.
Okay.
So he is going to walk right up. She is daringly fashionably dressed. High heels, not practical. And she is going to do the triple kiss.
Very good. He grins widely at this and my dear, oh, Dr. Bashir, where have you been hiding this lovely young lady?
Well, you know, I'm sure that I have tried to bring her here before, but she is always so busy. You are lucky that I was able to assemble the super science team today. Yes, now you have met. So.
I'm just reading what Gary is writing. Okay.
Yeah.
See you next time, Gary.
A comment there, but you never know.
Professor Finch rolls his eyes at the mention of the super science team, and yes. Please, take a seat. And you see, there's several chairs and sofas and places for you to sit down. He calls his assistant for coffee and other refreshments, and soon coffee is served and some rather nice little cakes placed on the table.
Aurelie takes her coffee completely black with a lot of sugar.
Naturally. When everyone has a drink and is seated, Professor Finch will mostly address in Dr. Bashir, but pleased that he's brought assistance. Well, I'm sorry for the telegram. It was a little vague. Where to begin?
At the beginning!
Well, yes, always a good place. You've probably never heard of George Pelfrey, have you?
Pelfrey. Doesn't strike me as someone I've met before.
Well, claims to have discovered or constructed a device, which, well, it may be right up your alley.
A device, you say?
A device, yes. He claims to have constructed a disintegrator. A device that emits a beam of force capable of disintegrating matter.
The Germans were working on one of those.
Yes. Many people have been working or claim to have such things, but they've always been uncovered as hoaxes or exaggerated. But I came across some evidence, through a former student of mine, actually, someone who I trust. It seems that there may be something here.
Is he selling those?
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, as a matter of fact, which is what I need you for. Unfortunately, Mr. George Pelfrey is rather ill. And he wishes to sell his device in order to meet his medical expenses. So he has arranged for there to be an auction. That's where you come in. I can't make it myself, but, well, I would like you to go to the auction, determine whether the device is real, or whether it's some kind of hoax. If it is real, find out how it works. Possibly most importantly, buy the device or keep it out of the hands of those who could do evil with it.
Well, that sounds like a simple enough task.
Well, we can buy it. Try to buy it.
Yes. In the name of
scientific purposes, of course.
Well, yes, naturally. But yes, this definitely sounds right up my alley. Me and my team. I'll make sure to take care of this.
I'm your friend. I'm not part of any team.
Hey, Lady Black kind of rolls her eyes a little bit at that.
Oh, I don't know if it changes your ideas of that, but I do have a 50 credit rating and I'm quite wealthy.
I have a 50 credit rating.
Damn it.
Okay.
Zounds. But it's for my super stellar charismatic attitude that you hang around.
Yep.
And the money.
And the money.
Yes, we will take care of this, Professor. Don't you worry.
Excellent. Just rest. Excellent. I knew I could rely on you. He pauses and waits to see if you have any questions.
Well, yes. What sickness has afflicted this man? You say he has medical bills to cover.
Well, I'm not entirely sure of that. I just know he has arranged the sale due to his decline in health. There's well, yes. I don't expect you to help me for free. I will cover all of your expenses, well as a retainer of $500 each.
No.
And
what's your top end at the auction?
Well, I would be willing to Provide credit for up to $6,000.
Sounds good.
Very well. Beyond that, we just take
if
it.
If the device proves genuine, well, yes, maybe. I mean, if such a device were real, I would not want it to get into the hands of some people out there.
Yeah.
But, Dr. Bashir, that's why I want you there to determine whether it is genuine. See if you can figure out how it works.
Yes. Hmm. Well, I will certainly suss out any inconsistencies in this scientist's invention.
Excellent. Gene?
Any other questions for the professor?
Where is the auction?
The auction will be in 1 week's time at a private hotel near to the coast, near Kingsport. Pelfrey has engaged the services of a business lawyer named, looks at some notes, Daniel Wade. He is the one that is organizing and running the auction. It is going to be a blind auction. Two rounds of sealed bids.
How do we get invited?
Well, I can provide you a signed statement in my name that you are acting on my behalf. Other than that, maybe just turn up and claim you have money.
So it's open.
Not really, but so the lawyer has been sending out a dossier, I guess you could call it. It contains several photographs of the device in action. As I recall, there was one of a oak tree before, during, and after being exposed to this device. I've had the opportunity to examine the photos. I cannot say with any certainty whether they have been faked, but
I understand.
Yeah, unfortunately not. I had to return it to my my former student. You see, he came across the dossier through his employer. Unfortunately, must remain confidential.
I'm sorry, you said they're sending out dossiers to potential bidders.
Yes, many of them have...
potential bidders.
We are now, yes. I understand many of the buyers have simply laughed the matter off as a fraud or a hoax. I do understand at least one major arms company, Ursus Foundries, is taking the matter seriously and sending a representative. I really hope that it is a fake, and you can debunk it and expose it, and we can all go on our way. But he sort of pauses for a bit and seems to be about to say something, but then just anyway.
What is it, Professor? You've always been straight with me.
Make it persuade roll.
Well, let's just see about that. 46 is most certainly a fail.
Look, we it's better to be safe than sorry, yes.
Oh, but Professor, surely you can tell me anything. And I'm going to just, like, rest my fingers lightly on his hand.
Okay. Are you attempting to charm him?
That would be a charm.
Go for it.
And yeah, that is a hard roll.
A hard roll. Excellent. He looks up at you and smiles. A smile of someone who remembers what it was to once be young. Well, my dear, I have had experiences in the past of quite fantastical things that have led me to believe that maybe such a thing is possible. Maybe one day I will tell you about them, but not today.
I smile and withdraw my hand, but I'm secretly pissed off.
Well, we shall take our leave, Professor.
Okay, so
contact you at the slightest inconsistency of anything happening. Don't you worry. Just rest.
Oh, thank you. So he gives you some notes, including the sort of major points discussed. The address of the hotel, it is the White Point Hotel outside of Kingsport. And he says that the auction is scheduled to begin at 6 p.m. In exactly 1 week's time. And I feel much better knowing it's in your capable hands.
Yes, well, we won't fail you, Professor.
Okay.
And with that, we are off.
Excellent. Okay. So, what are your plans next?
I would like to look into who else is going to be at the auction, if I can find anything else out of help.
How are you going to do that?
Right. I'd like to pay a visit to Daniel Wade. Actually, no. I would like to find out where Daniel Wade goes for drinks.
Okay. So you are looking into Daniel Wade. Okay, so, well, first of all, how are you going to look him up?
I think I would just look up his address or see if there's any mention of him, preferably if there's any mention of him in any recent newspapers.
Okay.
I just want to find his law office, and then I can do a mini stakeout. I just want to find out where he goes socially, so I can ingratiate myself.
Okay. That seems reasonable. So, why don't you first of all give me a labor use role for the initial looking him up.
Fail. That was not good.
That was a fail, was it?
That was, yes.
Okay. So, you probably can't do much more today, or maybe you've got a couple of hours left in this day and you can go and try and look up, look through some directories of local lawyers. You don't find anything in there. Is local for you? Where is local for you?
Yeah. That's a good question. I'm in Boston.
You're in Boston. Okay, yeah. So you don't believe he is a Boston lawyer. If he is, he doesn't have any listing anywhere.
That's interesting, isn't it?
And then, you know, maybe you spend the next day after meeting the professor, and again, you're not really coming up with any leads in Boston. There's a lot of lawyers.
Right. Well, that was my idea.
Okay. You can keep at it if you want. You know, you've still got 5 or so days before the auction.
I'll do that. Yes.
Okay, you're going to continue to look into that. Anyone else?
I would like to
2 days.
Go for it.
I was going to say that I'm interested in looking into Mr. George Palfrey and this specifically about his disintegrator. Maybe I could discuss with other mad scientist, grease monkey friends of mine, people who do work for them, like, did you know this guy has a disintegrator? And just find something out about that. And, you know, how he made it, did he get it from somewhere else, you know, who was working with him, whatever, stuff like that, about the actual disintegrator itself or about George Palfrey.
Okay. So
I would look up kind of the same line of information, but on more broad, general, high-level technological sense. Not really even about the guy. Just any stories or whatnot that I've ever heard about this kind of technology or technology like that.
Okay. So Steve, tell me what... So you mentioned talking to other inventors.
Right. You know, I figure there's people, you know, like the... Max's character, or you know, myself, that work for other mad scientists, things like that, that we're in contact with, you know, kind of a small community kind of thing.
He better not be moonlighting.
You know, something okay. Like I figured I could, yeah, talk to one of my counterparts at some other lab or something.
Mm-hmm. Make it's not library use because you're not. Using my libraries. Give me some kind of social skill. I'm thinking possibly a persuade to see to get people to open up, or
persuade. Okay, doesn't look good. Oh, 23. It actually does look good. That's a normal success.
Okay. So you talk to some other people in the community, as it were, and you know, many of them will just say, disintegrator? Nonsense. Never, George Palfrey, never heard of him. Stop wasting my time. I've got science to be doing. but then one person you come across, someone you know, is an inventor, has a bit of a photographic memory. You mentioned the name. George Palfrey? Yes. 5 patents. Electrical switches, radio components. I can list you the patent numbers if you want. Memorize them all.
Yes, please.
And he does. He just reels off a series of numbers.
Okay. That's a good thing to check, to follow up with.
Okay.
And
Adam, Dr. Bashir, what did you say you were going to try? You were going to sort of look into the technology? You doing?
That is correct.
Go into libraries?
Yeah.
Okay. Put it this way. I mean,
libraries or local university, looking at like maybe recent papers they've received or people have tried to circulate.
Yeah, I mean, you can come up with some basically research into synchrotrons and particle accelerators that are being constructed at universities. These are big devices, you know, these
right.
are
Right.
These are things that fill rooms and occupy large tunnels underground. They're not... There's no, nothing sort of indicates that the technology to put this into sort of portable form could be a...
At least possible in the general science community right now. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You may know about some research involving beam type weapons and these kinds of things, but it would be very very academic rather than practical.
Theoretical.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Fair.
Lady Black would like to call her one of her suppliers of weapons and Mac and chat him up about Ursus Foundries and see what the word on the street is on them, what types of weapons they provide, what kind of reputation they have, whether they're worth buying stuff from, what kind of person would go to them.
Okay. You can do so. And yeah, you can certainly look up public information.
This is underworld reputation, particularly.
Okay. So yeah. Ursus Foundries has a reputation of basically supplying to anyone if they pay the price. The public side of things is you know, not that arms companies really have particularly public sides. They try to keep out of the limelight. They just, you know, they sell to governments, they sell to distributors. They don't obviously directly supply anyone, but there's indications that they supply, say, both sides in a war, and et cetera. You know, it's not particularly surprising for an arms dealer, really.
Do we know what nation they are based out of?
They are a US company.
And do they have any history of selling crazy weapons or sort of having something special?
Okay. No.
Sorry, just a run of the mill. Mm-hmm. Do they go up to sort of military grade? And do they sell tanks, for example? Or are they... Maybe tanks don't... Yeah, they exist. World War. Yeah. Anyway. I mean, do they sort of sell large guns, or are they just a handgun manufacturer and rifles?
Yeah, it's mostly small arms, explosives. They're not a particularly large company in the arms trade, so...
Okay.
Is the owner of the company a public figure?
No. It is, you know, you can try and trace the structure of the company. It will be, you know, pension funds and it's publicly traded.
It is publicly traded?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
That seems unusual.
I might buy some stock in them. They're obviously a forward-thinking company.
Fair enough. Phone up your stockbroker and arrange to do that.
The only thing I will do is try to contact this doctor. The one that is setting the disintegrator.
George Pelfrey.
Yes.
How are you going to try and do that?
Well, to get the phone number from either one of the doctors, you know, our friend here, see if he can get it for us. What was his name?
Hold on. Finch?
Professor Finch.
Yes, Professor Finch.
Okay, so he's not, you know, you can try, he's not going to be able to get you a number. As he said, he's a not very well man. Professor isn't even sure where he lives or...
What is the... So what I'm going to do is maybe go to... I'm going to go ahead of the team, mm-hmm. and look for around the place where the auction is going to be. I'm going to look for hotels.
Well, the auction is at a hotel.
Okay, so probably he's staying there. So I'm going to get a room there. And... I'm, you know, once I get there, I'll try to contact him, see if he's staying at the same hotel.
Okay. So you're going to go and head to the White Point Hotel?
Yes. I will let my friend here, Dr. Banshear, know that I will be moving to the hotel. Just to, you know, take a look at the area before the auction, see if there are any trouble, basically. You know.
Is the hotel?
Yes, you're going to do some scouting. Good. You can reserve rooms for us when you get there.
Okay.
Is there a restaurant attached to the hotel?
Is there a restaurant? There is not a separate restaurant, but I mean, there's the hotel restaurant, if that's what you're asking. Yes, it serves food. Mm-hmm.
So I'm actually going to go to the maitre d' and tell him that I would very much like to surprise my good friend. But I don't know what time he has reservations tonight.
Okay.
My friend Daniel Wade.
Okay. Right, so let's say, you know, a couple of days pass when you do some initial investigations, you hit a couple of dead ends, you maybe find out about a few of the patents now, let's say it's 3 days before the auction. Why not? It can be a Wednesday today. So you've got Wednesday, Thursday, and then the auction is going to be on the Friday.
The maitre d' do me the great favor of helping me pleasantly surprise my dear friend Anthony.
Okay. So you, what time are you turning up at the hotel on Wednesday?
I'm going to turn up at 5:00 on the assumption that no civilized person would be having dinner before 8:00.
Okay. Very well. So you arrive at the hotel. So are you heading out there alone?
Unless anybody wants with me.
Well, I think Ferdinand said he was going to head out as well.
Well, I'm getting a room, lady.
I'm going to approach the maitre d' on my own.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
So, to send a word to your friend.
Maybe you make your way there together. Maybe you share a cab. Maybe not. Doesn't really matter.
Well, if we travel together, I would say one day before the auction, so I can book the room and stay at the hotel. You know, and actually looking at the people that is booking rooms and all that, I'm going to stay very close to the lobby. See who else is staying at the hotel and see if someone kind of catches my eye, you know.
Okay.
While,
right. So let's do Gale. So you head out to the hotel a couple of days before the auction.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you make your way out to the coast near Kingsport. The hotel itself is a fairly sizable 3-story building, red brick and white painted timber, in a bit of a showy mid Victorian style. It's rather spacious grounds around it, and it's near to a small cove called White Point Cove. There's a stable block nearby that's a parking garage, and there's a small boathouse on the cove itself. You can see the hotel was clearly once, very popular, probably back in the boom years of the early 20s, but it's somewhat faded these days. You also know that it's coming to the end of the season, and it looks like it's winding down a bit. You know, there's only a handful of guests, and it's a rather sleepy place.
So not a kind of place then that you might expect to see a high-end auction.
It's a nice building and a nice place, but yeah, you're right. You would think it's a bit strange, the Joyce. Maybe they are doing this on a bit of a budget.
Hmm.
Probably not the kind of hotel you are used to.
Oh, certainly not.
Okay, so you're going to sort of head in and try and look for the hotel manager?
The maitre d' of the restaurant.
Okay. Okay, so if you walk in at 5 p.m. You're going to walk through the lobby. You come to the restaurant and you see there's no one there. Yeah, there's no one actually having dinner at this time. There's a couple of staff members milling around. See what looks like a hotel porter moving some bits around. There's some.
Is there reservation though at the front?
Is there a what? Sorry, at the front.
A reservation book.
No. You know, it's not like a fancy restaurant attached that people come to have meals. It's clearly just the place where the hotel guests go to have their dinner and breakfast. So not the kind of place we're the maitre d', unfortunately.
I assume there's one at the front desk now?
Yes, there is. There is certainly a member of staff at the front desk.
All right, I'll try it on them. I would dearly like to surprise my dear friend.
Okay, so...
I cannot remember what room he's staying in.
So you head up to the to the main desk, and you see an old man, late 60s, maybe? Well, not massively old, but he looks tired. He looks sort of older than he is. And he sees you approach, and he perks up a bit. And, Miss... No, he's not going to say this. He's going to say, how may I help you? Are you checking in?
No, I wish I were. I have a good friend, Daniel Wade, who's staying here, and I would very much like to surprise him. But I cannot remember which room he is staying in, and I would very much like your help. Your help. Dropping those ages.
Okay. How are you going to sort of... Are you sort of...
I'm pretty sure this is fast talk, right?
Yeah, let's go for a fast talk roll.
Oh, wow, yes. That was the best kind of pass.
He raises an eyebrow really high. Oh, I see. You can make a psychology roll.
That was not a pass.
So he sort of sneers a bit almost. I see, you are with the auction?
No, but Danielle is a very good friend of mine.
Well, I'm afraid, miss, you have been misinformed, because Mr. Wade is not yet checked in. I fear he may have played a cruel joke on you.
That is so sad to hear. When will he be coming?
He'll be arriving on Friday.
Oh. Bien sûr. Well, thank you, miss.
How did you say you know him? What?
I know him through my papa.
You are not his wife? Well, very confusing. What?
I'm not his wife. Sumo, un ami, a friend.
Raises an eyebrow again. I see, a friend.
But if he's not here, I will come back in another time.
Yes, I think that might be best.
Okay. Wow, he's judgy. Okay.
Yes, you get the impression he doesn't seem to particularly approve of a woman on her own, perhaps.
Okay, I'm going to leave him alone. I don't think I'm...
Okay. It's clear that there's not much going on in the hotel. You see a couple of guests eventually come down to have dinner, but not exactly a bustling hive of activity, unfortunately.
What sort of people seem to be staying in this hotel?
Got a couple of retired couples. Someone who might be a businessman. It is not bustling. It is not high season.
And these people don't look especially rich.
No, you know, it's sort of middle class, well off, but not the wealthy.
Okay, well, I'm done here.
Okay.
Until Friday.
So Ferdinand was going to actually check in.
Yes. I'm going to book a room.
Okay.
I thought we were traveling together, but I didn't get that from Gail.
Well, I don't think
Friday can travel with you.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to get I'm going to get a couple of rooms because the doctor asked me to get him one. One for me and one for them. So I'm going to book a room for, I guess, four people. And yeah, I'm going to, you know, stay at the lobby, look at people that is booking people are booking rooms here at the hotel. See if I, you know, see anyone suspicious. Or if, you know, if things are cool here at the hotel, I may go and call other hotels and see if the doctor has booked a room there.
Okay. You can book some rooms. Stay at the hotel, observe the guests. You know, much as I described for Orly, it's retired people and occasional businessmen. Nothing particularly interesting or exciting.
Okay. So at some point they need to get all the artifacts they're gonna sell on the auction. I don't believe this is gonna be the only artifact they're gonna sell, or is it?
It is. You know that. You know it is an auction with one item.
Okay. So at some point, actually, they have to bring it in.
Yes. I believe I didn't give you the schedule, so let me do that. You know that is the schedule for Friday. Just pasted it in the notes. So let's fast forward to Friday, and
can we take a quick before that? Lady Black would like to head down to Kingsport on her motorcycle. She'll get a room at another hotel, and she will also get a room at the White Point.
Yep.
But she'll stay at the other hotel. But she would very much like to spend some time, apparently, in the dining room and in the rear gardens, and she's going to look for basically lines of sight and places where a person might hide and generally get herself ready for some sort of an action sequence by scoping out the dining room and the rear gardens there.
Okay, so I'd say at this stage you've pretty well scoped out the place, so you know this is the general surroundings. Posting a map for you, and you may as well know this. You may not know about the basement, but
I bet she'll know about the basement.
Figure out.
Oh, look at that.
Okay. Is that all relatively clear?
So is that big number two there, the conservatory? That's a big glass-fronted,
glass-walled
building?
Conservatory, yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And stores is storage, not retail space.
Correct. Yeah, I mean, you may not be able, you probably won't be able to get down there, so.
Assume. No, she'll do her best.
Okay.
That would definitely be part of the understanding how things work.
Fair enough. So let's say this is the day before, Thursday.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're going to try and get down into the basement?
Sure. Yep. So that's an elevator, it looks like.
Okay. Stairs right down to basement.
Okay.
Looking at got number 5. So you've got
Oh, there they are. Okay, those are stairs. Okay, I see. Yep. So that's in the mud room. In a mud room. So number 9 is an office.
Oh, so that's 6 good, like is that. The main lobby.
So it looks like she'd have to slip in through the office and then through the mud room. Oh no, there's a back door there. So maybe she can just come in from the back, from the garden into the mud room.
Okay. Why don't you make a luck roll to see if you can find a good period of time to do so?
All right. That is a hard success.
Okay, so you sort of you choose a moment when there's not that many staff around, and you sort of wandering around the gardens yourself, and then you quietly make your way into the back area of the hotel.
Yeah.
You can, yeah. At this stage, you've explored most of the rest of the hotel. You know about the main areas. You know about the rooms with the floors with the rooms. You know where the main restaurant is and the lounge area. You know there's sort of like conference rooms and bits off to the side, and then there's the kitchen and sort of hotel office areas at the back. That's where you're sneaking around.
Yep.
Okay. You can find the stairs down to the basement at this point.
Okay. I will work my way down there in the dark since I am have this night vision.
Okay. And you find lots of hotel supplies. There's a wine cellar. There's some cool stores with food and meat. There's things like spare bed sheets and probably a laundry down there, something like that. It's unfortunately boring hotel stuff.
And there's no no external exit. Obviously, there's none on the map that I can see, but there's no way to get outside from the basement other than
going up the stairs.
Other than up the stairs, okay. Mm-hmm. And the okay, well, that's good to know. And the storage, so there's plenty of places one could hide. Is there shipping storage, luggage storage type stuff? Like, would there be a place where they would put guest items, or perhaps even things that get shipped ahead of time to a hotel for secure or not very secure storage?
So, you know, probably the down in the basement, they might put it down there. There's the office, they could put it in there. You'd expect if you asked them to take something, they'd put it somewhere there. But
there's no disintegrator ray in the basement, for example.
Not that you can find.
Okay.
Okay.
Good so, enough. Yep.
Make me another luck roll as you exit the basement.
Ooh, well, that one is not as successful.
Okay, so as you begin to climb the stairs, you realize that someone is making their way down.
All right, I will stealth my way into a hidey hole.
Make a stealth roll.
98. Wow, I did not see that pile of dishes there on the stairs. Actually, you know what? I'm going to push that.
Oh, let me think about that. Excellent.
Yeah, so I didn't see the pile of dishes, but maybe the hotel cat is around or something like that, and I can still sneak away after this clatter comes down, and that we'll blame it on the cat. Because it is dark here. They can't actually see me at the moment. Does that seem reasonable?
Okay. I'll let you push the roll.
Wow, I am hot today. That's an 88. That is also not a success.
okay, so things go clattering, and you hear a voice saying, "What's that? Who's down there?"
And I say, "It's the cat."
Really?
Apparently, something bad happens.
You don't have to say that. I mean,
okay, I won't say that. So I'm attempting to sneak away, and apparently I still make some noise or something.
Yeah, so you fail to sneak, you make noise, and someone knows you are down there.
Yeah.
In fact, why not? You fall while you are attempting to be sneaky. You fall onto something, something glass that shatters, and you cut your hand. So for, roll a 1d3.
3.
Okay, and you cut your hand. And it's a rather nasty cut. And you feel blood trickling down.
Excellent. I swear.
What? Who's down there? And you hear the footsteps coming down.
And I will say, "Damn! Who left these dishes here?"
Okay. So let's see, the person gets to the bottom of the stairs and flicks on a light switch, and you see a young hotel bellhop. What are you doing down here?
I was just looking for the restroom. Somebody left these dishes in the. And I show him my bleeding hand.
Make a fast talk roll.
Fast talk, huh? You wouldn't allow me to be charming instead, would you?
go on.
Wow. Nope, I'm not very charming.
You're not supposed to be down here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
What have you done to your hand?
Yes, I cut myself on these dishes. You rather surprised me.
Why are you down here in the first place?
Yes, well, do you have a something, a bandage, perhaps?
I think I should report you to the manager.
Of course, yes, and perhaps he has a bandage. And I'll start walking up the stairs past him.
Okay. So you're sort of leaving a bit of a trail of blood over the place as you do so?
Apparently, yeah. That's a lot of hit points.
Okay, are you going to accompany the bellhop to the main lobby?
Mm-hmm.
And
or I will lead him to the main lobby.
Okay. And you find the hotel manager, rather old-looking man, and what What is going on?
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a bandage or something I could use? I've cut myself.
Make some kind of roll here.
Okay. 07. I have made some kind of roll.
Okay. At which point the hotel manager sees that you're bleeding. Oh my goodness! Someone help this woman.
Yes, thank you.
The bellhop nearby. You there? What? Find some bandages. He says, but she was in the. Don't make excuses. Go now.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
And I will, assuming something shows up, I will first aid myself with whatever bandages appear.
Go for it.
There we go. That is a hard success. As I expertly wrap my wound up in what they provide.
Okay.
I think that's only one hit point, right?
Does pulp change healing? Oh my goodness. Successful first aid is increased to +1d4.
Oh, nice. Okay, so 1d4. Yes. 2.
Okay. So you've scoped out the hotel pretty
subtly.
Yeah, subtly. what were your supposed to be? Stealthy, keen vision. Who am I looking at?
No, I have the night vision.
Hardened and night vision. Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm. Okay. Right. So yes, you have that information. You're staying nearby. Rolls around to Friday, the day of the auction, and at about midday or so, things start happening. So if you are sitting in the lobby, you see activity taking place as many people start arriving, and there are vehicles, and there are workmen, and they are unpacking crates from a van and bringing them in. And if you are present, who is present at this stage?
I believe I am.
Okay.
I think
Lady Black is.
And Ferdinand.
With the potential buyer.
I think Ricky would be real excited to get a look at the disintegrator, so he's probably there, or she's probably there.
Yes, Ricky and Dr. Bashir will be there in the morning.
Okay, so pretty much everyone's there, it seems.
I will call in ahead of time to give them the room number and everything that I book on, you know, under their name.
Okay.
And I will tell him not to come and talk to me, since I don't want people to see us together, just in case if something goes, you know, sour.
Good plan. Good plan, Eagle.
Okay.
Subterfuge.
Okay. So, what do you see? If you're sort of at this stage, you're checked in, and you're maybe sitting around, some in the lobby, some in the lounge.
Yeah. A fast gorilla.
Indeed. So, 5 people arrive at midday. You see an old man. He looks 70, and he looks ill. He looks like someone who should be in a hospital. I mean, the flesh is just sort of hanging off his frame. He's just got nasty blotches around his neck and his eyes, and you can see that his hair is falling out. Next to him, you see a woman in her maybe early 40s, and she is helping the man and sort of providing him a shoulder to lean on. She looks sort of not particularly attractive, but not particularly ugly, rather demurely dressed, with shoulder-length brown hair. Then you see it.
Inexpensively?
Yes, you know, there's not cheap clothes, but probably clothes that that are a bit old, but have lasted a while. So slightly out of fashion. And accompanying them, you see a younger man, maybe mid-30s, rather slim man, bespoke silk suit, distinctive New York accent. And he is overseeing two men, clearly workmen, big men, dressed in workmen's clothes as they unpack some crates, and he's basically overseeing them bringing the crates into the hotel.
If I give a listen, can I hear what they're calling him?
Make a listen roll.
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Wade. At once, Mr. Wade.
So that's him.
And what was the result in your listen roll?
It was a regular pass.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So if they are left alone, they will head into the hotel, head to the lobby, speak to the manager. The manager comes out, and there's a bit of a bustle of activity as he points to things and arranges room keys for the man and the woman.
And can I listen in on them and hear who they are?
You can probably have to get a bit closer to do so.
Sure. Yeah. I'll slide up discreetly.
Okay. Are you trying to be unseen as you do this, or?
Not literally unseen, just not obvious.
I'm going to say it's a stealth roll to be subtle. You're not trying to hide, but you're trying to not draw attention to yourself.
Four. I'm amazed.
A four. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So you overhear the conversation. Ah, Mr. Pelfrey, Mrs. Pelfrey, so glad to meet you. Yes, everything's running smoothly. We can get you set up in your room and arrange everything for the auction. If there's anything you need, please do let me know. I will be more than happy to assist you with whatever you wish. You see the woman, Mrs. Pelfrey. She says, "Yes, I think my husband needs to rest now. You just show us to our room."
Am I seeing all this excitement?
Yeah. If you're around in the lobby,
yes.
So the
lobby,
the man addressed as Mr. Wade oversees the two men as they basically take the crates into the back of the hotel. go off with another member of staff.
Okay.
Do the workmen, or does anybody around look like security, or do they simply look like they are carrying stuff? I mean, I'm looking for subtle signs of guns or anything like that.
Make a spot hidden roll.
All right.
I'm going to roll for it, too.
I hope your tens die is more friendly than my tens die.
Oh, 84. Oh, I have the plus die because of
bonus
my perk, nice. Yeah.
Keen vision.
Check. Yes, that's a 34. That's a pass.
Is that a hard pass or a... What kind of success?
Yes, let me tell you right now. I believe it's a standard. Yes, standard pass.
Okay, so you don't see. It doesn't look like they're carrying weapons. I mean, they're wearing quite large overalls, and it would be easy to conceal something in that, I suppose, but you can't see either way. They certainly do look like people who could handle themselves in a brawl. Let's put it that way. Both look big and strong.
Can I ask Jonathan how big these crates are that they're carrying them in? I know Dr. Bashir thought the disintegrator ray had to be as big as a room. So are these giant crates or much smaller?
No, you've probably got one about, I guess, 2 foot by 2 foot by 2 foot.
And the way they're using them, does it look like they're extremely heavy or?
Yeah, some of them require both of them to carry. But that might just be more from the shape of them rather than the actual weight. That makes sense.
Does it seem like they're straining at all?
No. But these do look like,
strong men. It looks like this doctor came with his wife. Or did I misunderstand that part?
It's probably his nurse.
Said wife. He said, she said, my husband would like to rest.
My husband, yeah.
They don't look like the people who would have enough money to make a major purchase like this. They must be backed by someone.
Well, he built it, I thought.
Yeah, he's the one selling it, I think.
Yeah.
Because of his failing health.
Right.
Maybe they desperately need the money for something.
For his medical bills.
So, yes. Ferdinand is thinking that...
No.
Did you roll for that?
Why go through all the trouble, the auction, and risk it if you can steal it, right? That's what he's...
Great mind.
He has in his mind.
I thought you were a bounty hunter, man. Not a thief.
But he's not going to do it, right? But he thinks like, if he thinks like that, probably, the bad guys are thinking exactly the same. So I'm going to be, I'm going to try to be more receptive moving on about the people that is coming to the hotel. And I will be rolling some psychology roles, I guess, on the staff to see if I see some strange behavior.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Seems reasonable. Does anyone have any particular plans in the immediate aftermath of that?
I'd like to get into the garden ahead of time and see who might be similar to Ferdinand's thoughts, but who else might be tucking themselves away in a secret corner where they are up to no good.
Okay. So you can certainly head out and wander around. So those of you who have sort of been in the hotel for a few days or so will know that there's actually only four guests currently. There's wow. An elderly man.
I would like to surveil those guests.
I missed that again. But
yeah, I want to check out the guests.
Sure, okay, yeah. So one of the guests is an old man, and he heads out every day each morning with a pair of binoculars and goes out and sort of walks around all day. Then there...
some other use of binoculars.
He looks like he could well be a bird watcher. There's a couple of Holiday Inn spinsters. Again, 60s or older, and they just sort of mostly sit around in the lounge and play cards and chat and don't do much. And another young man.
A young man who is the bad guy, or a young man who plays the checker?
You can go and talk to him if you want to.
I certainly will, yes. But before I do, once again, is he expensively dressed? Does he look
yes.
like someone who should make a big purpose?
Yes, he does seem to be wearing well-tailored, expensive clothes. Okay, so you sort of head over him at some point?
Yeah, I'm just going to bump into him in the garden.
Okay.
Entirely by coincidence.
Oh, I'm so sorry, miss.
Yeah, it was entirely my fault.
What? Can you make an app roll?
Yeah, I got this. Yep. Regular success.
He sort of turns around and looks at you. Forgive me. James Gilroy.
Okay, we laugh. It is a pleasure to meet you, James Gilroy.
He sort of blushes and stammers a bit. Are you on holiday?
I am. Yes. But right now I am so. Are you so bored? I am hoping perhaps you will keep me company for a little while.
He will have a big grin on his face and agree to do so. So you can sort of get to know him. He's a graduate student, and he tells you he's in the area visiting relatives, and he will, after not particularly long, start boring you utterly with description of his studies.
God damn it. What field is he in?
Sorry?
What field is he in?
Literature.
Okay. And I'm going to say something offhandedly about all these boxes that were coming in, and it seems like there's some activity going on. How does he respond to that?
Oh, well, it's been very quiet here. Don't know. don't have to make a psychology roll or anything. He seems genuinely to not know anything.
All right, I'm going to dig him.
Okay. Those in the lobby see some other people arrive. So, a man comes up to the front desk with a Italian accent, and he wears a bright blue suit, and he wears enough perfume that you can smell him from across the room, and his hair is so oiled that it shimmers. And he heads up to the front desk and checks in. Let's see, probably.
I will try to overhear his name.
Okay, so you can do that. Heads up to the front desk and says, "Have a reservation." That's a shit French accent. I'm not going to do accents.
We want a shit Italian accent.
Yeah, I can't do a shit Italian accent.
I have
sorry.
To do the French. You have to do the Italian.
It's very bad when I do accents. I always slip into some kind of bastardized French. Yeah, I just need to stop doing it. He heads up to the front desk and says, checking in for the auction, Pietro Morosini. And he will head out to... you see he's actually accompanied by a young man who is carrying some bags for him. And you see the older man... Older man turns to the younger man and says something very rapidly in Italian. Does anyone speak Italian?
No.
Yes.
Really?
Well, a smattering. I spent my childhood traveling around Europe.
Okay. Make an Italian roll.
I grew up on his lap in Monte Carlo, watching him at the gambling table. No. I don't speak that much Italian.
Okay, but you know enough that he's basically saying, you know, something along the lines of, bring my bags, do this, do that, stop being so useless. But you can't quite make out the full details.
How is the young man responding? Does he seem to just take it?
He rolls his eyes and just sort of,
Jonathan, are they putting down the names of the people that are coming for the auction in a different book or in the guest book?
No, don't seem to be.
Okay.
Okay, so... another man arrives, maybe in his 60s, grey hair, and he just walks up, has a suitcase with him, checks in, doing the same thing you did before. He gives his name as Dr. Walker.
Is his accent American? English?
Yes, American.
Any chance Dr. Bashir or I recognize any other mad scientist types, weird scientists?
No.
Okay.
Didn't think so.
Just throwing it out.
It'd be too easy.
I'm at this point. I'm writing down names on a notepad that I have with me.
Sure.
Casually, you know, I want to do some research on all these guys.
Okay. So, you know, the day rolls on. You see Wade. He comes down and he sort of talks to the manager, and he talks about, you know, we're ever going to arrange a demonstration, and sort of see him walking about.
Okay, so Jonathan, what I'm going to do is, when I see that, you know, some people just stop coming, probably the ones that wanted to be here already here, I'm gonna ask for the phone on the, I'm gonna leave a note for the professor.
Okay,
and I'm gonna tell him that I'm gonna hit the library and I'll be back.
So, you know, the auction is tonight. It is the day of the auction today.
Yes, yep. But what time is it right now?
Maybe getting on to 3 o'clock.
Yes, I got a couple of hours, right?
Okay, yep.
You go to the library, see what I can find on these guys.
You can do so. You can drive into Kingsport. Doesn't have a particularly large library, but...
Okay, just go over newspapers,
okay.
Pretty much, and international news, see if I can find anything about Walker or the Italian guy. What's his name?
Pietro. Morosini.
Okay, you can head off to do that, not a problem. You're going to plan to be back for... 6 o'clock?
For the auction, yes.
Or 5 o'clock, maybe?
Don't want to 5 o'clock, yeah. 5 o'clock.
Right. We may have to leave it there.
All right.
Oh, you guys. You can take a short scenario and you will make it last forever.
We're just doing proper research and being very cautious about the auction. That's all, Jonathan.
Yeah.
I mean, it really, it's what people have come to expect, right? I mean, you can't change. You can't change now. It's the way things have got to be.
Okay, guys. Well, next week we might get to some plot, so...
All right.
I
don't know about that.
Yeah, I feel I misstepped a bit here, because it's supposed to be pulp. It's supposed to be action and exciting. So I think I should have just skipped. You know, cut to the day of the auction, and you're already in there. But oh well.
Hey, we're all adjusting to the new system.
Yeah, I almost shot someone in the basement.
Failing your pushed roll. Okay, you lost some hit points.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, yes.
All right, guys.
Until next time.
See you tomorrow.
Cheers.
Bye.
See you then. Bye.
Take care, guys. Bye.